The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we once again bring a new episode for you of our program, The Second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu an, and inshaAllah Zawajal will be shedding more light on more virtues and excellences of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu an, as we've been doing for our past episodes. In our last few episodes, we've been talking about the knowledge of Faruq-i Azam radiyallahu an, and inshaAllah Zawajal we will continue our discussion today further in regards to the unmatched knowledge that Faruq-i Azam radiyallahu an possessed, and a great favor he has done upon the Ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam by imparting that knowledge ahead, by establishing certain principles of deen during his caliphate, and how beautifully he rose the flag, he upheld the flag of Islam in far and wide lands. Today, inshaAllah, we'll talk about Faruq-i Azam radiyallahu anhu and his expertise in the branch of knowledge of hadith, ilmul hadith. This is specifically what we will discuss today, inshaAllah. And we'll also talk about the hadith, some of the hadith that he has narrated, and we'll also talk about those companions, those tabi'een who narrated a hadith from Sayyidina Umar Faruq-i Azam radiyallahu an. But before that, inshallah, let's listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and enlighten our hearts further with his love and devotion. In Sunan al-Nisa'i, this has been mentioned that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam humbly said to me that Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, are you not pleased with this thing that when your ummati sends salam upon you one time, I send salam upon him tenfold, ten times, subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel Amin alayhi salam to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, who said that Allah is saying this, subhanallah, that whichever ummati sends salam once upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salam 10 times. Upon that very ummati. And what can be said about the fortune of that very ummati upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salam, subhanallah. So if we also want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should also recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as much as we can. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, topic of the day is Faruq-i Azam radiyallahu anhu and ilmul hadith, his expertise in the knowledge of hadith. Now, the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he would stay in the court of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He would remain in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he would acquire knowledge from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam himself. And this is the reason why he radiyallahu anhu had a great grip, great expertise in the field of hadith as well, because he radiyallahu anhu learned directly from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and imparted that knowledge ahead. When we talk about his caution in regards to narrating the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then we find that he was very, very cautious in this regard. As the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that whoever associates a lie to me intentionally, deliberately, should consider his abode to be in hellfire. Now this very saying was like before Sayyidina Faruq-i Azam radiyallahu anhu, because of which we see that there aren't so many ahadith which are narrated by Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu, he would be very, very cautious in regards to mentioning and narrating the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he states that Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu, he narrated approximately, more or less, 539 ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, out of which 26 ahadith are such upon which Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullahu ta'ala have consensus upon, and meaning that they both have narrated those ahadith. And besides those ahadith, there are 34 ahadith which have been mentioned only by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah ta'ala and 21 ahadith which have been mentioned only by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi ta'ala. Now there may be a misconception, a confusion that may arise in anyone's mind that there were other companions who narrated more ahadith than Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu, he's narrated only around 539 ahadith, and he radiyallahu anhu is the most superior in the ummah after Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. So how does this reconcile with this fact that he is the most superior in the ummah after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and he's narrated less ahadith than some other companions? Now in this regard, the reviver of Islam, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahimahullah, he mentions a beautiful fact. He mentions beautifully regarding the stages of ahadith and superiority. What exactly does it depend upon? So in Fatawa Razaviya Sharif, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahimahullah, he states that there are very few ahadith in Sihih Sitta of Siddiqui Akbar radiyallahu anhu and Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu, right? Very few ahadith of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and Umar Farooq radiyallahu anhu are found in Sihih Sitta. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the service of hadith. Allah ta'ala has divided the service of hadith in different ranks, in different stages. Now, some of them are blessed with the rank of khidmat al-alfaz, with the service of only narrating the wordings of a hadith. Now some companions were those who would just mention the hadith, the wording of the hadith. And then there were some companions who were blessed with the service of khidmat al-ma'ani, meaning that along with mentioning the words, they were also blessed with the service of explaining the words, that what exactly that hadith meant. And then some companions were also blessed with tahsil maqasid, meaning that they were blessed with the service of mentioning the wordings of the hadith, the meaning of the hadith, and also the objective of the hadith, the purpose of the hadith. And some were blessed with isal ilal matlub, meaning that along with all the previous services that we mentioned, they were also blessed with the service of making those objectives of the hadith reach other people as well. So these are the stages in which the service of hadith has been divided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first one was, some would only mention the wordings of the hadith. Some would mention the meanings of the hadith as well along with the wording. Some would mention the meaning, the wording of the hadith, the meaning of the hadith, and also the objectives of the hadith. And then some would mention the wording of the hadith, the meaning of the hadith, the objectives of the hadith, and they would also make the objective reach other people as well. So the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah rahimahullah, he further states that narrating more ahadith is not a cause of superiority, or narrating less ahadith is not a cause for superiority to be taken away. So in these words, beautifully, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah rahmatullah alayh, he defines all these stages of ahadith. And he also mentions that what superiority is based upon, it's not based upon the number of ahadith narrated. It is based upon, of course, the different stages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the service of hadith into. So this is how the hadith structure is before us, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the service of hadith into different phases, into different stages, rather, and how certain sahaba were given the responsibility of a certain stage. And when we talk about Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar radiyallahu anhu and Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu, they both held the rank of the last stage that we were talking about, the most elite stage, where along with everything else, they would also make the objectives of the hadith reach other people. Now let's talk about those companions who narrated a hadith from Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. There were many companions and many tabi'een who took a hadith from Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. But first, let's hear the names of Sahaba Karam Ali Muridwan, who took a hadith from Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, subhanallah. So in them, their names are Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, Ali bin Abi Talib, Talha bin Ubaidullah, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas, Abdurrahman bin Auf, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Abu Dhar Ghifari, Amr bin Absa, Abdullah bin Umar, Abdullah bin Abbas, Abdullah bin Zubair, Anas bin Malik, Abu Musa Ash'ari, Jabir bin Abdullah, Amr bin As, Abu Lubaba bin Abdul Munzir, Bara bin Azib, Abu Sa'id Khudri, Sayyidina Abu Huraira, Sayyidina Abi Sa'adi, Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir, Sayyidina Nu'man bin Bashir, Sayyidina Adi bin Hatim, who was the son of Hatim Tai, Ya'la bin Umayya, Sufyan bin Wahab, Abdullah bin Sarjis, Fultan bin Asim, Khalid bin Urfuta, Ash'ath bin Qais, Abu Umama Bahili, Abdullah bin Unais, Bureda Aslami, Fudala bin Ubaid. Furthermore, Shaddad bin Aus, Sayyid bin As, Ka'b bin Ujra, Misfar bin Makhrama, Sa'ib bin Yazid, Abdullah bin Arkam, Jabir bin Samura, Habib bin Maslama, Abdurrahman bin Abza, Amr bin Hurayth, Tariq bin Shihab, Ma'mar bin Abdullah, Musayyib bin Hazn, Sufyan bin Abdullah, Abu Tufail, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa, and Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatuna Hafsa Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. These were the names of the companions who narrated a hadith from Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. There are 50 companions that we just took the names of who narrated a hadith from Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. Now let's hear the names of those tabi'een who took a hadith from Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. So his son Sayyidina Asim bin Umar rahmatullahi alayhi, Sayyidina Malik bin Aus rahmatullahi alayhi, Alqama bin Waqas rahmatullahi alayhi, Abu Uthman Nahdi rahmatullahi alayhi, his freed slave Sayyidina Aslam rahmatullahi alayhi, and Sayyidina Qais bin Abi Hazim rahmatullahi alayhi. So these are the tabi'een who narrated a hadith from Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And earlier we heard about the Sahaba Ikram Ali Muridwan and the Sahabiyat who narrated a hadith from Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu. Now dear viewers, there are many hadith that are narrated by Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu as well. So inshaAllah azawajal, now we will go through some of those ahadith that were narrated by Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu, and we'll also try to learn a few lessons from those ahadith which Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu narrated. The first hadith that we will talk about is the famous hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, the first hadith, the hadith that is on the topic of intention, on the topic of niyyah. So very famous hadith, let's go through this very hadith. Sayyidina Alqama bin Qais Laythi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he narrates that Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he sat upon his pulpit and he said that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that actions are dependent upon intentions, upon niyas, and for everyone there is what he intends for. Thus, the one who migrates to acquire this dunya, or the one who migrates to marry any woman, then his migration is for what he intends to migrate for. So dear viewers, in this narration, in this hadith, we find the importance of intention. And we also come to know that intention is the foundation of all the actions, as actions are dependent upon intentions. And without good intentions, dear viewers, we will not be rewarded for our good deeds. So is it very, very important for us that we make good intentions prior to any permissible task, as even if we are performing any righteous deed, we think that we're performing a pious deed, but we don't make any good intentions before it. In that case, we will not be rewarded. And if there's any act that is mubah act, and a permissible act, that carrying it carries no reward nor sin. Now, by making good intentions, we can make that very action into an act of reward. So making intention is very, very important for us. And alhamdulillah, the founder of Dawat Islami, Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razavi Zayd Ahmad Barakatumul Aliyah, he strongly emphasizes on making good intentions. Even in Madani Muzakras, every Saturday, we will see on Madani channel that whenever he conducts Madani Muzakra, he makes good intentions and makes other people also make good intentions. And this emphasis on good intentions highlights the fact that how important it is for us to make good intentions. And also the pious deeds given by Amir Ahle Sunnat to the Ummah, which is a list of do's and don'ts for a Muslim in the form of questions and answers. Even in that very booklet, which we should follow on a daily basis in order to become a practicing Muslim, even in that booklet, the first very pious deed which we've been persuaded to act upon is regarding good intentions, whether we made good intentions prior to performing any permissible or righteous task. So it's very, very important, dear viewers of Madani channel, and this first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari also talks about the virtues of intentions, the importance of intentions. And this hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and it highlights its importance. So we should make sure that we make good intentions before we perform any good action. Otherwise, the action will be performed, but reward will not be there. Second hadith, very beautiful hadith, and it shows the greatness of Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu as well. And it shows us that how important it is to convey the teachings of Islam ahead as well. So this hadith is narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Yahya bin Ya'mar radiyallahu anhu, who says that Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu, he said that once we were present in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and a person arrived who was wearing extremely white clothes and his hair were also black. However, there were no signs of him traveling or, you know, the signs that normally appear on a person's face due to fatigue, due to tiredness of traveling. So there were no such signs on his face. And no one out of us could recognize him, the guise in which he was. So he came right in front of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sat right in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He joined his own knees with the blessed knees of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and placed his hands on the blessed thighs of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he respectfully asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Akhbirni anil Islam." Meaning that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, tell me about Islam. To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam replied that Islam is this, that you give witness that there's none worthy of worship besides Allah. And undoubtedly, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the Messenger of Allah, and establish salah, give zakat, keep the fasts of Ramadan and perform the Hajj of Baytullah if you possess the capability to do so. Listening to this, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you've spoken the truth. Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu said that we were astonished. We were amazed that what kind of person he is, that he's asking questions himself and then he's testifying to them as well himself. Anyhow, he then went on to ask second question. He said, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about iman, about faith. To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. Meaning that faith, iman, is that you embrace faith, you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His angels, His books, His messengers, and on the Day of Judgment, and on good and bad destiny. So this is what faith is. This is what iman is. He then asked, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about ihsan,
To which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam replied, Ihsan is that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that you are seeing Allah. And if you are not seeing Him, then He is watching you. Subhanallah. Then he humbly asked, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ, meaning that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, tell me about the Day of Judgment. To which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied, that the answerer doesn't know more than the questioner. Then he asked again, that فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَتِهَا, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, then at least tell me about some of the signs of the Day of Judgment. To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said that some of the signs of the Day of Judgment are that a maidservant will give birth to her master, those who will walk barefoot, those who will be clothless, and destitute shepherds, they will boast upon tall buildings. Now, Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he says that after this, that person, he left, and I remained over there. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he asked me that, O Umar, do you know that who this person was who was asking these questions? To which I replied that Allah and His Messenger know best. To which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam replied that he was Jibra'il Amin, and he came to you to teach you your deen, your religion. Through this hadith, dear viewers, we come to know of the importance of imparting knowledge to others as well. And at the same time, we also come to know that how beautifully the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam elaborated what Islam is, what Iman is, regarding the Day of Judgment and all these matters in front of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu through Sayyiduna Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam. So in other words, we can see that Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu is learning from the code of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam is teaching Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu through the chief of angels, Sayyidina Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. So what a beautiful gathering that would be. What a beautiful company that would be, where the teacher is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam. The conveyor of the knowledge, the means, the medium is Sayyidina Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam, and the receiver, the student, is Sayyiduna Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, subhanallah. So such a beautiful gathering, such a beautiful teacher, such a beautiful medium, such a beautiful student, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest of mercies and blessings upon Sayyiduna Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. And as we are covering those ahadith that were narrated, some of those ahadith that were narrated by Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, dear viewers, now we've covered only two ahadith in today's episode. Inshallah azawajal, we will continue our discussion in our next episode as well, where we will cover more ahadith that were narrated by Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, and inshallah azawajal, try to see what lessons we can gain from those ahadith as well. So make sure that you remain tuned into Madani channel, and inshallah azawajal, we will bring more fascinating facts and virtues and excellences of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu before you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest of mercies and blessings upon the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for His sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu.